Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitchell Finley is presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. Well, I'm here at the Navy Yard Studios. JP is out at practice. Took a break, and he'll be back here shortly to give us a little take on what he sees out there. I think I'll go out there tomorrow to start giving myself an opportunity to look through and see different things that are going on out there. Because, you know, hey, I listen to a lot of people. But as a guy who's been through it, I like to see things myself sometimes because I think I look at things a little differently. My angle is different than somebody else. Not saying that I'm better than anybody else. It's just that I look at different things than the average person would look for to give me my understanding. And also, since I'll be giving this team my calls as a color analyst during preseason, I want to be able to know everybody in and out, exactly who they are, find out little tidbits about certain people to make sure fans understand the different stories and the backgrounds and things that go on with these different players. But as we look at this thing, and I know JP mentions this a lot, where it's very hard, he feels, for a defense to be as consistent as they need to be because it comes down to who you're playing against sometimes. And we've noticed 2 years ago, or 3 years ago it was, where this team played very well. And they did face a lot of quarterbacks that were like mediocre. They came back the following year, did not play as well because they faced better quarterbacks. And then last year they played good again, and they played against a lot of mediocre quarterbacks. This year they seem to be able, they're going to be playing some top-notch quarterbacks once again. And as I look at it, I also feel that it's, in essence, it's kind of true in what JP says. But also, you look at this defense, and now they've been together for a longer period of time. Their actual nucleus has been together for a longer period of time. So even though you're playing against better quarterbacks, if their growth is still happening, they should be able to play better against some of those better quarterbacks too. And I don't care if the guy is a first-round pick, undrafted, whatever. I notice one thing. If you get pressure on a quarterback, they're going to have problems. Everybody always say, oh, man, if you get pressure up the middle on Tom Brady, you can get him. You get pressure up the middle on any quarterback, you're going to affect them. And what is the strength of this football team? The strength of this football team is your interior D lineman. You hope that both of the guys in Chase Young and also Montez Sweat on the edges can step up and be what you thought they were going to be when you drafted them. We've seen Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, what they're capable of doing. So now it's time for those guys to take a step forward and also start helping the guys behind you get better. If one thing I learned when I watched the Miami Heat play against the Boston Celtics is that Jimmy Butler doesn't expect Jimmy Butler and the four starters to be great. He expects the whole damn basketball team to be great. So if the other players that are lead dogs of this football team, the other players that are Pro Bowlers on this football team, the top dogs, if you also bring your guys with you, tell them little tidbits that'll help them out. Tell them things that they aren't doing better. Push them more, and the team gets better. Now you don't have to try to play so many plays. And then you get tired, and you try to play a gut out of play, and you give up a big play. You can have somebody come in behind you. And I've seen a lot of these young guys over the last few years. They've stepped in, and they play very, very well. So I feel you can still go out there as a defense and play. I don't think it's automatic that just because you're playing a better slew of quarterbacks that things are supposed to go the other direction. Because Aaron Rodgers has shown he's great. But if you get pressure on him, he throws the ball to other people too. So at this point now, I am expecting this defense to go out there and play better. And JP, I was just talking about how what you say is right. The defense doesn't play great all the time. But If they're the best part of this team and they've been around long enough, they need to be able to step up and play even if they're playing against better quarterbacks.
For sure. I mean,
oh, man, you just ran up here. Yeah. Kind of winded, huh?
Dude, I ran from the far practice field. And the part that gets me is it's a little bit of a steep hill right up into the area where we are.
Uh-huh.
And that's what got me. And maybe I should have walked that last portion. but B, if you think about how they've built this team,
yeah.
If you think about the draft capital and the financial capital now, especially between Payne and Allen, hell yeah. Like, you're going to play tougher competition, but you're supposed to be the tough competition.
There you go.
And now they – I think if you had to identify a weakness defensively, frankly, I think it's probably still the linebacking group.
Yeah.
But they've just kind of attacked that through scheme that they're not – they just don't have linebackers on the field all that often. And when they do, they trust – I think they trust this kid Barton for sure, and I think they're going to trust Jamin Davis. So that's kind of the plan there. And then beyond that, I think they were worried about their secondary. Both the depth, because they had zero depth. It was Fuller and BSJ and some dudes. So now you've got some depth there and maybe some high-end talent. I thought Emmanuel Forbes had a really good practice, the portion I got to watch. Quan Martin really might be able to help them in the slot. So I think defensively, B, yeah, you got to play Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen and Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. But, like, it's pro football.
Yeah.
There's going to be good teams.
Hell yeah. And I think that's what I look at. I mean, I understand we look at the fact that they may play quarterbacks that are better. But in my mind, everybody is a damn pro. And I think you have to be prepared every time you get on the field. And it's not an excuse for me when you play. If you play somebody that's not good, then you're supposed to step up and play great. When you play against somebody that's good, then guess what? You should still cause them some problems. So that's why I think they may not be able to exactly replicate what they did. But I've seen teams in 2 years live up to the same height. And they were led by a strong performance of those interior linemen.
Yep.
If those same guys and those guys that were backing them up last year can still replicate something like that, they have an opportunity to go out and do some of the things they did last year, even though they're playing better quarterbacks.
I agree with you. So I took a good amount of notes. I got to watch six sessions. And so people understand practices. They come out, they stretch, then they just go through little individual drills, position group drills, eventually getting to team drills. But, B, I imagine this was the same for you, but I've pretty much seen this over the course of, I mean, hell, even if you played high school football, this is kind of the course of practice, is the last 30 minutes or so, the last 20 minutes are going to be as close to 11-on-11 real football as you're going to see in May.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much match up the starters against the starters and then the twos against the twos with the knowledge that some of the position groups are going to rotate. And, I mean, in the two-minute drill, it was Jonathan Williams out there at running back with Sam Howell and Jahan Dotson. Like, I don't believe Jonathan Williams is going to be in that position that often. I'm not sure that Jonathan Williams has a definite roster spot after they drafted the kid out of Kentucky.
Yep.
But, like, so there's always going to be some level of rotation. I think, you know, it's funny. I was talking with some fans as I was walking away. And the fans that are there watching, I think, loved it. And I think the pace of the practice is so amplified. There's really, really not much downtime. If you remember earlier this morning, Ron Rivera said that the team has started miking up Sam Howell so they can listen to him in the huddle. And then they're watching it back as they watch the tape with the sound on, which I think is really pretty smart and creative. One thing I noticed is Bieniemy. One thing I just wanted to dispel from watching it, and I recognize I'm watching this in May, but I thought it was kind of a silly thing even when it was a topic. The thought of Bieniemy not being able to get the plays called or not being able to get the plays called quickly or any of that, I think is wildly exaggerated. I mean, in this two-minute setting where they're trying to run a red zone drill, He's on a walkie-talkie for starters. I don't know why they don't have him on a headset, but maybe he doesn't want the headset the whole time. I don't know. But he's got a walkie-talkie in his play sheet in the other hand, and he is barking the plays, and they are coming out immediate. So, you know, the sequential stuff, I guess.
Who said he can't get the plays in quick enough?
Don't you remember when, you know, as the playoffs went on and Bieniemy wasn't getting the head coaching looks, people are like, well, we're not sure who calls the plays. Andy calls the plays. He only calls some of the plays. Remember that conversation?
Yeah.
So I don't think there will be any issue with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that's tough, like I had a fan say to me, and I appreciate getting to talk to all these people. Richard John's worried I'm going to pass out. I'm good, buddy.
Yeah, after hearing you breathe like that, I know Jeff's not running for a straight 3.4 miles.
Right. Like I ran 2 miles yesterday. So one problem with watching Sam Howell is making determinations based on his performance in these OTA sessions when he's not allowed to get hit. So a lot of times plays kind of continue even though they wouldn't. And in the first full 11-on-11 red zone session, I think they ran six plays. They definitely ran five.
Mm-hmm.
On at least three of them, on two of them, Howell would have been under heavy pressure. And I think probably sacked, but he can move, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
On one of them, I believe it was Barton on the blitz off the blind side, he would have not only been sacked but taken a serious hit. If this was real football, if this was October, it would have been a serious hit.
Uh-huh.
Now, that play, so I believe it was Barton, pulls up, runs off to the side. You know how, like, when there's a blitz and it, you know you would have hit, they just run to the side so the play can continue?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's good practice. Like, that's what you need to do to get the work in for the wideouts and the tight ends and the rest of the linemen, whatever it is. That's the right method. But because he steps out of the play, then Howell rolls out a bit and is able to find Jahan Dotson in the back corner of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Dotson goes up and gets the ball, a little bit of contact. Dotson came down hard. I asked him as he was walking off the field, I was like, that TD had to hurt a little bit. He's like, yeah, a little bit, no big deal. I mean, there's no issue there, but he came down pretty hard on his, like, leg and butt, kind of, which I'm sure he doesn't mind doing, but he would love to not do it in May. So for some people, they'll see that play and be excited that Howell made the play, found Dotson, but the reality of that play is he would have been blasted in the backfield.
Yeah, but it happens a lot. I think in practice, what you do, you still want to go through the play because it makes you realize if I go through the play, release it quicker, and it's blocked up, what can happen? They tell every quarterback, they tell like I was in practice in high school and the defensive player would have probably wrapped me up. And then the coach would yell at him because you didn't let me throw the ball. Because they still want to see how the play would go if things are blocked up. So you hope in October, as you stated, you know, if not October at this point, that they do block it up and he could deliver the ball in time without getting ear-holed.
Right. Now, I think what we're going to see with Hal, ups and downs. It's what I've been saying. It's a young quarterback, and you got to be – you got to be patient with this thing. And I think there are spots where he looks really good, B. There are spots where he looks really good. And there are other times where it's just inaccurate or.
But like the play you just stated, is that the quarterback fault or is that the nobody blocked the person?
So one thing that really stood out to me was Bieniemy yelling on a Brian Robinson play specifically. I think it was the first snap of the 11-on-11 red zone drills. And Robinson clearly just missed the blitz pickup. I don't even know if it was a blitz pickup or just a help protection on the interior, whatever it was, but the interior got blown up fairly quickly. And after the play, you just hear Bieniemy yelling at – he said, B-Rob, if you don't block him, who's going to block him? He came free, and he yelled that two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And – it is just it's a very audible, it's a very visual difference in how they are practicing. And I don't want to say the intensities of the practice, because ultimately they're pro football players. It gets intense, but it's the pace, it's the crispness with which they're practicing. To me, it is quite different there. I want to break down a little bit more of what I saw out there.